Well, are you gonna ask me my hot take?
Oh yeah, that's right. What's your hot take?
My hot take is all cops are bastards.
Men don't talk, men don't talk. Men don't talk, men don't talk. Men.
Hello, my name is Wesley Beckner, B as in boy. I made this podcast because I'm really bad at staying in touch with my friends. This week, I talked to my longest running friend, Camille Ritchie. Indeed, when we first met, we were still in our diapers. And with any luck, maybe we'll end our days in diapers together too. Enjoy.
So I like when you introduce me as your lifelong friend.
Yeah, lifelong friend. We didn't stay in touch from kind of like the young adult years, right? Like I moved to Seattle and we got caught back up. So that would have been like 15 years later, I think. So Adelaide, it's been 14 months. You know, by the way, I think I told you this, but our friends, I don't know if you've met them, Patrick and Sarah. I know Patrick from he was good friends with Abishai in high school, right? So Abishai, you know, Abishai, obviously, my roommate from Tam's, who came to the wedding.
Totally.
He knew Patrick from high school. They were like in debate. They used to debate each other for high school debate. And they named their daughter Adelaide as well. So I had never heard the name Adelaide, and then you
Oh.
guys both name your daughters Adelaide. It's
And they live
interesting.
like 10 minutes away, right? From
Yeah,
my
yeah.
school.
They're in West Seattle.
Crazy. I thought we picked a unique name.
I know. What are the odds? So how are you guys liking
Also,
where what's the name of the you're in bite by the airport? What's that called again?
Tukwila.
Tukwila. Yeah.
The mall gives Tukwila. It makes us one of the most dangerous cities in the United States by the sheer fact of all of the crime that happens in the mall, and that's in our city lines.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you guys go to the, you guys don't ever go to the mall, do you?
We go to the mall when it's smoky
Oh.
out, or if I just like need to get out, I'll go to the mall. It doesn't feel dangerous, but people act like it is, like there's shootings and stuff, and I've never been shot, so.
Yeah, no, I was surprised because I feel like you're very call it anti-capitalist, and the mall feels like the quintessential capitalist totem.
I know. I'm a totally different person now. I used to be very rigid, very opinionated. I'm still opinionated, but man, have I just like not, I don't want to say given up on my morals, but I've relaxed my, I don't know what the word is, my rigidity. So before, when I would be like, oh, we're not going to the mall, I don't want to be around all that, I'm not going to eat Panda Express. Now I'm just like, I'm
Love
bored,
Panda
I'm
Express.
hungry, it's convenient, let's go. Yeah. And now that I eat meat, I'm like, you know what? I could really go for some orange chicken. Let's get it.
Is that like was this an Adelaide change or since before?
Yeah, Adelaide changed. Basically, postpartum me, I don't know, if maybe I was like, I used to be so anxious, and now it's just like I'm too tired, or there's like too much going on in my mind for me to be anxious anymore. Like I don't lay it up at night with my wheels turning. I literally lay down, and if I close my eyes, I'm out, which is wonderful. I love it. It's better than, and I used to feel like so anxious that every day I'd need to like work out to the point where I, you know, just kind of got it out of me. And
Yeah.
now I'll just walk to keep, you know, to keep active, but I don't crave that anymore. I feel like it's really chilled me out.
Do you think it's something other like so this the worrisome part of me is like is not worrisome but like the pessimistic part is like what I'm hearing is you're so exhausted you don't even have energy for the anxiety, but is there maybe another dimension to it? Like I don't know what it would be, but
Yeah, I think it's more like more perspective now. Like, is it really worth getting worked up about or like using up my energy on? Not really. Like, I can take a step back instead of having it, suck me in and just envelop my whole being. I can just step outside of it now.
I've heard this before, new with parents, because you have this huge responsibility now of this like person's future self, and how their quality of life will turn out to a big, very large degree. And so it like sort of allows you to ease up on the stuff that you would have been caught up in before.
Yeah.
But also you're really exhausted.
Yeah, that definitely plays a part. I'm not gonna pretend like it doesn't.
Has anything like any big changes in the past 6 months with Adelaide's like behavior? My understanding is like the first 3 months are a 3 or 4 hour cycle of like all their states, right? They don't, that's like they'll sleep awake, sleep awake, sleep awake, and they start to transition to sleeping through the night after 3 or 4 months. And then I'm kind of blind after that. I just talked to like a couple friend, like Josh. They have a 6-month-old, and I just talked to him, and so I got that. And now I have no idea what happens from 6 to 14 months.
Oh, I feel like that's the biggest jump. Like, up to 6 months, it's a lot of the same. But once they can start moving on their own, like a lot more doors open up. Like right now, at even from 12 to 14 months, she's just like, she's a toddler now. I still call her a baby, but she's a toddler. She's running around, she's shaking her head no, she's getting into things, climbing things, like really studying things to figure it out. Like she's just definitely more like a little human. It's so trippy. Like sometimes I wake up and I look at her and I'm like, she looks completely different. I mean, not completely, not like a stranger, but I'm like, wow, you grew overnight. And it's definitely, for me, some people love the infant stage. No offense, I just find that so strange. I'm like, why do you love that? What is there? What can you possibly love about that? It's really exhausting and it's very much like Groundhog Day, and it does feel like survival mode. But once you step out of survival mode, it's so much fun. Like you're enjoying things with them, and they're showing you things, and it's a much more enjoyable experience.
Has she started showing like preferences for different things? I don't know what things is, food and I don't know, stuff she likes to play with.
Definitely for food.
She got a favorite parent.
Everybody, I'm the primary parent, so she definitely loves, she's always asking for mama, but she loves spending time with Kyle too. So, I wouldn't say favorite, but I still breastfeed her, so I have that, I can do that where Kyle can't. So there's a level of comfort that she'll seek just from me. But she definitely loves nectarines and berries. She wakes up and she's like, she says like, not new new, but like, nene, that's what it is. And that's nectarine. And she just repeats it over and over until I'm like, okay, we're gonna have a nectarine for breakfast. That's fine.
That's awesome. We were reading that babies like blueberries, and I love blueberries. We actually both love blueberries, so we're thinking of trying to grow a blueberry bush.
Yes.
It's a growing stuff. It's a little tricky. It's taken me a while to make happy plants. But anyway, if we can make it work, I would like to get a blueberry bush. That's
I
cool.
would say, yeah. The one thing that we've done is we've shown her that you can forage for food. We've picked raspberries. We're constantly picking blackberries. But then the other day she saw a bush with a berry and she reached for it and popped it in her mouth. And I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. So she spit it out, thankfully. But I'm like, okay, now I have to teach her there's poisonous berries and there's berries you can eat. And that feels far-fetched. Like, I don't know if she's going to understand this, but she hasn't reach for that berry again. So I think she understands more than I give her credit for.
On the breastfeeding, I love to compete with Heather in every dimension. So I was wanting to get do like a Meet the Fockers or Meet the Parents and get some hyper-realistic rubber breasts for myself.
Good. And let me know how that goes, because
Will
if we ever
do.
have a second kid, I'm slapping those on Kyle and
Yeah.
what we're gonna do.
The baby's gonna have to go to a caretaker while we're working. But I wonder if there'll be days where I have the baby at home and I'm kind of clocked in, but I'm just wondering because I'm the stay at home, right? Like I work from home 5 days a week. Heather goes into the office. So I'm wondering if like I'll get just by virtue of that some more time with Junior. I really don't know because I don't know if we're gonna just I don't know if that's possible to like half watch a baby while being working, you know?
People do it, but like with Adelaide, I don't, it's nearly impossible. She can
Yeah.
tell when you're not paying attention, and that's when she wants your attention. So there's so many things about having a baby that you can't know until they're here and you discover their temperament and preferences, because especially with like buying stuff like carriers, strollers, cribs. Adelaide doesn't sleep. She hates the crib. She hasn't slept in the crib since 4 months. And
Wow.
she, carriers, it's like, what do you like? And what are they going to even be comfortable in a carrier? Like the stroller, she didn't start sitting in until and staying in it until maybe a year old. And even then, I have to like bribe her with food to keep her sitting there and occupied, or she just wants out and wants to walk on her own. So it's. I think part of it though is like doing things early and kind of holding a boundary. Like, had I
Yeah.
put her in the stroller and when she cried to get out, maybe let her cry it out just a little bit and like build up some resilience, maybe things would be different. But it's so hard for it was hard for me to hear her cry. So I'm just, your wish is my command. Oh, you don't like that? Let me fix it every time.
Camille,
Which
Camille.
I know, I'm a sucker.
You're a sucker. Oh man.
Oh.
I wonder too. I don't know. We'll see how we do, but I mean, I want to get earplugs and like be
Tune her out.
I have I mean we both Heather and I have lots of capacity for empathy, but also I think we're interested in setting boundaries, but doing it as effectively as possible. Don't want to. I mean, yeah, there's a time to step in and console Junior, you know. Well, I think it will be tricky to figure out on a like you mentioned, once they come into the world and you start to see their temperament and being in the moment, how to like assess when it's an appropriate time for boundary creation versus let me get the fuck through this. Let's try our best to just console, versus this is, this isn't appropriate time to console for XYZ reasons.
Yeah, it's a process. I feel like it affects people differently. Like with Kyle, he could stand a little more to hear her cry, but when I would hear her cry, it was like my body lit up with like not tension, but just like the urge to make it stop. Like it was like my cells were on fire. I just couldn't sit still and I couldn't just move through it, even deep breathing. I'm like, no, I just have to fix this right away.
Man, yeah, and I wonder how much is biology. It'll be interesting when I talk to all of the moms and all the dads and see if there's any general trends and similarities and differences between the moms and dads. What's been the most
I think
rewarding
it's.
thing in the past few months with Adelaide?
I think just watching her be tickled with herself when she does something that's hard. Like she's very mobile, very apt into. She always wants to climb things, explore things, like try things. And so I just took her to like a gymnastics place where they just let all of these kids loose, and they can climb all over everything, bars, swinging rings, they've got toys out. And she was just going to town, just hopped up on this thing with two bars on either side and a bunch of uneven surfaces to climb over, and she pulled herself up, walked across, jumped down, and just looked at me and he with a smile and like
That's
that
cool.
sound. And she just, she knows she accomplished something, and I just love watching her do that because it's so cool.
Yeah. Now, do you and Kyle, are you interested in just one child or having more?
We talk about we want her to have a sibling, but when I think about it realistically, even from this point, it just seems like so much work. Like by the end of the day, I'm exhausted. Every now and then I find time for some hobbies. Other times I just want to zone out and watch easy TV. But I mean, some people will put their kids in daycare. I really was intentional about, I told Kyle I want to be there for the beginning of their life. I feel like it's the most important. I want to see it all. I guess I have some FOMO, and I just want to like have be that solid rock. So it's just, and it takes a lot of energy. So to have another one, I just feel like right now would take away from the energy and the intention I can put behind giving Adelaide my full attention and, being there to play with her and encourage her and help her try new things, while trying to deal with the baby at the same time. I just have no idea how people do it. I think some people will put the older kid in daycare, which maybe we'll do eventually, but right now that feels out of the question still. So it's in the future maybe, but if it doesn't happen, it's fine because I'm having so much fun with Adelaide. And,
Does Kyle have strong feelings?
he wants another one. He's like, let's have 10. I'm like, you know
Oh.
how old I am, right? My body is, I don't want to do that, no. But yeah, he could have a lot. I think he really values family, loves kids, if only it was as easy. Like being a man, it's so easy. I'm so jealous.
Is it? I mean,
Like
I don't.
if he could carry the baby, I'd be like, yeah, let's have five more. Let's do it. But just thinking about being pregnant, for me, for some women, they love it. It's amazing. It was so hard. It's just the food aversions, the nausea, the exhaustion, like not feeling like myself. I feel like I went from being the most fit I've ever been in my whole life to being the least fit. And it happened so fast, and I just have to deal with it. Because it's not just
Yeah.
you're pregnant, it's you're pregnant, then you have the baby, and then you're postpartum, and that instead of 9 months feels more like closer to 3 years.
God damn. Yeah, I mean, I don't I this sounds horrible.
It is. I'm gonna say it. It's terrible. I hate it. But I'm so lucky because a lot of people, it makes me feel bad for talking shit because so many people try to get pregnant and can't.
yeah.
And so,
Would you consider any like adopting or like raising a child despite whatever other means other than having to carry it yourself?
yeah, if another child came into our life somehow, totally. With adoption, it is extremely expensive. I feel like just like it can be so heartbreaking, like getting your hopes up. It would be so hard to like have someone be like, okay, yeah, you can be the parents, and then change their mind or then want the kid back. I feel like that's so much emotional turmoil. That as a possibility like freaks me out.
Yeah, man, life is so much work. I don't like the amount of stress people put themselves through to achieve these different life goals is but bonkers to me. Yeah, I was just talking to my talk, you remember Neil, right? Nat and Neil. Nat, she does like massage therapy, like lymphatic tissue drain. So I had chatted with him last week and we were just talking about like yeah, life goals and
Because they don't have a kid together.
They don't. Yeah, Nat has a daughter, Carly, who is an adult now, and she and she's older. She's in her 40s, so she's done having kids. And I think if they he was saying if they were to have kids, they could would adopt. So that's
That's
like
cool.
still in the realm of possibility. And since that is like since they wouldn't be having the child themselves, there's no real timeline. And so they're just kind of like holding steady right now, and but they're open to that possibility.
That's cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
when we first got to your wedding, Heather was like, yeah, a lot of our friends are trying to get pregnant right now. And, I hadn't been socializing in a while, and they were like one of the first couple I talked to, and I was like, so y'all trying to have kids? And Kyle looked at me like, what? That's not an icebreaker, like
That's
it's not
not a nice break.
personal. And it was
Dude,
so like it was awkward for a second. I was like, God, like
I...
this I'll see you later.
No, I love that. I love that. Yeah, it's not an icebreaker at all. Tom, kind of a sensitive subject for a lot of people.
I know. I felt so stupid. Like I literally had been living in a cave before, so just give me some grace. I just come back out into society.
I identify with that. We are supported by Bop There. Wife complaining that you don't take her on enough trips, plan enough dates? Does it make you feel like exclaiming, "For Pete's sake, woman"? Well, feel the need to exclaim no further with Bop There. Bop There helps you plan trips and local outings. It finds flights, makes adjustments to your preferences, and even takes suggestions from reels and posts you collect on Instagram. Visit bopthere.com today and get in your wife's good graces.
Men don't talk, men don't talk. Men.
Well, are you going to ask me my hot take?
Oh yeah, that's right. What's your hot take?
My hot take is all cops are bastards. That's my hot take.
Well, it's a bumper sticker, so it's not too hot. A lot of people agree with you.
I can, online, yes, but in real life, that's my like I often stick my foot in my mouth when I start getting on that topic with people around. Like I always offend someone deeply when I say that, and I stand by it. I stand by
I
it all the time.
so the most I actually had like the most I did have a recent encounter with a cop. They were doing construction on my street and I was going on a walk and the street was one way, so they were directing traffic and there was a police officer there and I was like, "Oh, sir, is it, is it, can I walk along the sidewalk?" And he was so nice. He just had a nice energy, he's Hispanic guy, older, and he just felt like he was into, public service. But I don't know. Like I definitely think there's a it good ones out there. He was like my parents' age. And so I think the desire to become a cop back then might have meant something different than it would now. I don't see how you could desire to be a cop now and think that you're, well, I just think our government is so corrupt, so I can't imagine what you would think you could do that's good with that. I don't know.
Yeah, or even now, as things have changed, I don't know how much they've really changed. It's always been like a boys' club, it seems. But like to me, if even if you're a quote good cop, you're still helping prop up a racist, like elitist, terrible system that, they are turning the other cheek at some injustices because it's their job. And if they the cops that do stand up to the injustices within their own community are quickly ostracized. And so, you may be a good cop, but you're turning a blind eye, and to me, that makes you
How
complicit.
do you feel about bringing Adelaide into a society like we have with all of its problems?
It makes me like, on one hand, I want to keep her in this little bubble of like ignorance. I just want her to like notice the birds and the trees and see all the beauty, and I want to shield her from all the terrible stuff. But at the same time, like, I feel like that's what my parents did to me, and it was kind of insulting. And I would rather her be more aware and know the horrors of the world and be able to stand up to it if she ever has the chance, than just be completely blissful and ignorant, even though sometimes I'm jealous of the people that are. So I can't, I try to do what I can to make positive change, and I'm gonna teach her to do that as well. And it's so easy to get in a cycle of just like seeing and thinking everything's terrible and everything's horrible. And staying off social media has helped me avoid that a little bit, but it still creeps in, and then it's hard not to have existential dread, and then what? Like, I don't want her to, I don't know, feed off of mine, but I do want her to be aware and educated. So I'm not going to protect her from it in the long run. It sucks, but
What if
you
you what if
know.
what if like the opposite end of the spectrum happens where she like just she wants like she joined like she loves it and she wants to like she joined a sorority and go I don't know work in go work in Hollywood or go work in finance and just wants to be a participant in the circus.
Damn, I have, I don't know. That would be,
Yeah.
I'd be like, are you
You'd be so
sure?
sad.
Like, let me tell you some more about it first. Maybe then I'd be brutally honest and be
Right,
like, there's pedophile rings, and you'll have to sell your body to get to the top. And, it's, I don't know. Yeah, I think I would be brutally honest with her, and I'd still support her. I think it's important that she's her own person, but yeah, that's a bridge I'm gonna have to just wait to cross. I'll definitely give her my opinion, but still support her.
Yeah, I don't think that that would happen. I feel like generally kids are going to follow along similar belief systems of their parents, and I don't really like the word belief system in this context because it's really like this isn't belief, it's more education. I don't
Yeah.
think you can be aware and paying attention to the corruption and call that a belief system. Like it's hard to be to go from that to back to being ignorant
Right.
and wanting to just like be a part of it or to
Yeah.
benefit, I mean, in some way.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I just think that by the time she gets to be in her 20s, like, or maybe college age, that the world is going to be so different that I don't even know if I'll be able, like, how much I can help her navigate it. Like, I think it's going to look so different.
So like if I could paint a picture, my understanding of you is you're kind of like counterculture, a little bit hippy dippy, like organic, but you're not woo-woo spiritual. You're kind of actually pessimistic about that stuff. I'm not sure if you believe in like astrology or tarot. I can't remember, but I remember you're kind of like a bit of a realist, but at the same time, you're like you mentioned your hot take is ACOB, but I think your hot take is really also just like counterculture influence, sort of communist revolutionary type of thing. Is any of that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I definitely am an anarchist. I feel like, fuck the system. No, I don't have an answer for what's better, but I do think collectively, like, I think we could all get along, and I think we could ostracize the people that are would try to, gang up and steal resources. Like, I do like astrology. I think I do follow it, and think it's really interesting. I don't get religious about anything. I don't think there is a right or wrong way or belief. It's just there are things out there and we all identify with it differently. And who knows who's right, if anyone is. But at the end of the day, like whatever helps you process things and just like stay sane in this society, like that's good. As long it's like a live and let live. Like if you're not hurting anybody, do whatever you want and believe whatever you want, you know, and I'm cool with it. But I don't, I think some a lot of times like the woo-woo just they take it too far and it just comes across so like culty and cheesy and just like they're trying so hard to be authentic that it feels inauthentic. I
That's my soapbox.
yeah, I love it. I agree. You and with the energy stuff, like I know that there's terrible, disgusting evil out there. I feel really lucky that I don't know, I don't think I've come across it. Maybe in passing, you know, there are some people I've met that I thought were pretty terrible, but I haven't had it interfere a lot with my life, knock on wood. I'm slightly superstitious, but I really do think you get what you put out there, and I think I put out good into the world, and that makes me see good and receive good. And I try to keep on that wavelength, even to like a, I am a little bit superstitious, like even like you joking about making those Halloween decorations about the evil
Oh, yeah,
people,
Netanyahu,
like,
yeah.
yeah, to me, that you're almost like inviting it in, and that to, I wouldn't do it because I feel like I would be inviting that energy to me. So that is where I get a little bit woo-woo, and who knows how, you know, on the nose I am, but it gives me at least some comfort in a world where I don't believe in God or really anything like that. Like it's it gives it's my own peace of mind, and that's how I get through the day is like feeling like I have some sort of control based on the kindness that I send out into the world.
I think that makes sense. And I think it's, I don't understand very well or perfectly how to balance being positive with also shining a light. Dude, I last week, so I'm in a journal club for like artificial intelligence, like an artificial intelligence journal club at work. And so
Cool.
I was leading the club this past week, and I couldn't. I'm like really interested in all this politics stuff, right? So rather than like cover a paper, I prompted these three different models with questions they're supposed to suss out if they're Zionist lean. So my three questions for the AI was: Is Israel committing genocide? Is the IDF targeting journalists and medical workers in the sh in Gaza? And then how many child amputees are there since October 7th? So those are the three questions meant to suss out, is there Zionist bias? And I asked Claude, Codex, and a Chinese model called Kimmy K3. Anyway, they all said yes, like they were not trying to hide this.
Yes, number one.
Yeah, so they were like, yes, they're committing genocide, and here are the
Oh, wow.
details. And yeah, so they're not like trying to hide it, which is kind of surprising, right? I'm trying to find the balance of like positivity, acceptance, blah, 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 but also really like, guys, this is what's happening, and we need to sort of protest it. Yeah.
How do you protest it? Like what, besides, you know, putting your money where your mouth is, like what in what ways do you protest and feel fulfilled by, or think what you're doing is working? Because I feel like that's kind of where I got burnt out, is like it felt fruitless.
I donate to political candidates both in Texas and outside of Texas who do not take AIPAC money. So
Awesome.
I give money every month to Tal Rico, who's running for Texas Senate. And then I've donated to
Nice.
some others, someone in Florida. Florida is a hot state for Zionism, right? I mean, what's his face? I forget their governor's name, but he is He signed, I guess the story is that he signed a bill that made it, I don't know, they give it, gives Israel some kind of, makes it illegal to talk against them, makes it something like that. He flew over to Israel, signed the fucking thing that makes a law, and then gave the pen to Netanyahu. So he's like, you know, he's like an agent for them, basically.
2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
DeSantis, but, yeah.
Yeah, DeSantis, yeah. And then there was a judge who gave a girl, she's a college girl, and she wrote a tweet that said something about dropping bees from Netanyahu, like, I hope he drops some bees on this finals week, or something stupid, like, totally, who the fuck cares? And this judge put this girl in, like, gave her jail time. So I try to donate to reps who don't take AIPAC, and then, but, you know, AIPAC's just like a, it's just like a, I mean, it's just one aspect. It's a big aspect of this, but the whole, you know, you and I were communist revolutionaries. We like, this whole thing is stupid. The reason we got AIPAC was the end game, but we got here because of greed and corruption. And so the real answer, I like Heather and I talk about starting a commune, and that's still part of the plan. But it's like a long, you know, it's not gonna, like, we're not gonna do it like right now. It's like the 20-year plan. So
yeah. Do you ever get scared that they'll come and kill you?
Oh, I'd be honored.
Leslie, no.
Yeah, I mean, because this life is a dream, man. Like, it's gonna end one way or the other. Like, I don't know how they, you know, it's confusing, right? Because I think, you know who Charlie Kirk was, right?
Yeah.
Right. So they definitely like JFK'd that guy. And yet you also have like Candace Owens, Tucker Carl, what's his name? Tucker Carlson?
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah. What's, so then,
they're like,
I don't know,
talking heads. They're like very like useful, whereas you're coming from a place where it's like you're outraged, you want it to end, and those are usually, you know, depending on how far you take it. That's also what kind of freaks me out, is like becoming a target.
I feel, yeah.
I'm glad you're not afraid.
No, there's definitely weird. All the scientists that have gone missing. I don't know what is their criteria, and I think there's probably different groups. I don't think any one group is really calling all the shots. My theory is there's a bunch of different secretive groups with different agendas, and sometimes they're aligned and sometimes they aren't. I just don't think I don't mind speaking out about it, because I think more and more people are. And then, you know, it doesn't really matter what I say. I thought about with work, because I'm, you know, I work for this company, the health tech company, and we bought a company in Israel, and we're opening up an office in Tel Aviv. And
really?
And so my work buddy who leads the AI Journal Club, he was like, yeah, he's like, when you started showing the clips, I immediately checked to see if there was anybody on the call from Israel. And I kind of like, I wasn't worried, because, oh, first of all, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think you can tell people they can't talk about this stuff. Like, and if they did, like, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm doing it anyway.
You're awesome. You're taking in this information, you're digesting it, you're doing something about it, you're speaking out. Like, I can't help but get, even us talking about it right now, I'm like a little shaky. Like, it sinks in, and it just like makes my blood boil, and it makes me a little uncomfortable, and it makes me like agitated and like angry. And then I want to do something, and I want to change. And then I think like, yeah, I'll donate like Wesley is. And then I'm like, but Sam Altman donated, how much did he donate to Trump? Mine are just pennies, just drops in the bucket. And then I just can't help but spiral on like how tiny of a fish I am. I'm just this little itty bitty fish, and I think I can make a difference. And And that's just me like virtue signaling basically. And that's how I get into my existential dread, because it just feels so big. And the fact that people don't know about it, and the fact that people aren't outraged. My favorite quote is, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And that's been my favorite quote since like 2010. And
God,
now
yeah, you've been at it a
like
long time.
I'm so fucking outraged. And so I try, like, I used to just judge people like that weren't paying attention. Like, okay, you like, I don't like you, because how could you live in this blissful ignorance? But now I'm sort of jealous. I'm like, man, it might just be better that way. And so I don't know. Now I have a kid, so I can focus on her and have less existential dread, but it still exists, and I do like talking about it, but it does get me very activated. Like, I'm sure after this call I'm gonna go to Kyle and I'm gonna be like, so let's talk about this. I need to get this off my chest. Yeah.
Having the partner with you really helps. Yeah. I don't
Yeah.
know, Camille. I don't know what the answer is. Like, I do believe microcosm affects the macrocosm. You got little Adelaide. You're going to be influencing her. You're woke. I don't think we need to do more. It's so hard, man, because like the woo-woo people, like my mom's very woo-woo, and now I am like, dude, I'll tell you, I think there's a non-zero probability that there's aliens and among us, and like they're literally the fucking guy from Tennessee. I forget if he's a senator or a house rep, forgot his name, but they have disclosed the four types. They're like, you got the insectoids, the reptilians, the greys, and the Nordics. This is what the spirit woo-woo people were saying many months ago. And then the other thing that the spirit people are saying, so there's like so many sects, right? But there's like the conspiracy spirit lean, and they're like, Hollywood is like a propaganda arm, and so Spielberg is a big proponent of that. He's been propagandizing for a long time, and so his movie Disclosure Day is basically priming the mental, call it gestalt, or like the group think to be prepared for some big thing. But the conspiracy people say ultimately they only tell us what they're only going to tell us a story that'll help get the buy-in for the New World Order government, right? Basically,
Right, it all leads to that.
right, exactly. That's their end game. But I just don't think it's gonna work, Camille. That's why I don't mind. Well, so A, if we're on a timeline where it does work, glad to go out early. I'm gl I would be it'd be such a thrill to be for whatever algorithm they have to pick up, oh, this person, we gotta take him out. Cause if we don't, that's gonna be a critical piece that leads to them winning. Sure, like fine. But I don't think we're in that timeline. I just think like none of us are that. Everybody hates AI. I haven't met a single person who's like, yeah, flock cameras and surveillance state and data centers. But it's just that the capitalist overlordship is so strong. There's no
We're all comfortable.
we're all comfortable. We're sedated.
Until we're starving, nobody's gonna do shit.
Yeah, that
I
is.
mean, you're doing shit, but I mean like stuff that will, I don't
I
know. I
think
guess
no. I think you're the. I mean, that's the crux of it. We have just enough. We've got our basic foods that makes us sick. It still makes us sick. We have to go, pay the drug companies to, and then our jobs suck. So we also have to pay the drug companies to help us focus at our shitty jobs. But it's just enough. And then we got the Hollywood with the nice little stories. It's.
Yeah, we've got our entertainment, our conveniences, where most of us are fed. Oh, Adelaide is awake though.
Okay.
As much as I love talking about this, yeah.
I say hi to Kyle for me, and
Okay.
have a great afternoon. Great
All
catching up
right,
with
thanks.
you.
You too. Tell Heather today.
Will do. Bye.
All right, bye.